Washington.
From the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, this is the Taxi Link.
What the Taxi Commission has done recently with its most recent regulations is it said to Uber, you can't have smaller cars, fuel-efficient cars, because they're too much, they'll look too much like taxis. That's ridiculous.
Several DC council members are up in arms over the Taxi Commission's determination that Uber can't use the sedan class of vehicles to bring smaller taxi-like cars to DC's streets. But allowing Uber's taxi-like vehicles to go largely unregulated while cabs face heavy and increasing regulations is unfair, says DC Taxi Chair Ron Linton.
So it would be allowing a taxi vehicle, essentially, to run unregulated against another vehicle, what we call a taxi, that is regulated. If that simply doesn't make sense to me.
This is the Taxi Link, brought to you by the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. I'm Pete Tucker with thefightback.org, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tony Norman, chairman of DC Advisor Neighborhood Commission 1B, which includes parts of U Street, 9th Street, and Georgia Avenue. Welcome, Tony. This is our second to last show.
Yes, glad to be here. We're going to be pumping it up and go out in style.
Still got next week as well, so we're almost going out. But we are in style. That's definitely true. We're going to be opening up the phone lines tonight. We're going to be talking about Uber and UberX, the smaller vehicles that Uber is attempting to and is bringing to the streets of DC to compete with taxis. The number to call to join the conversation is 703-534-9878. And about midway through the program, we'll be opening up the phones to take calls, hear from drivers and others who want to weigh in. The way it's been portrayed in the media is that this is an attack on hybrids, but we will hear other perspectives as well. That number again to call in, 703-534-9878. Look forward to hearing from drivers tonight. As we spend the hour looking at several issues, first and foremost, the issue of Uber and its new service, UberX, which consists of smaller taxi-like vehicles. This week, the Taxi Commission passed regulations that exclude smaller cars from the sedan class of vehicles, a move which set off a firestorm among several DC council members. Appearing on News Talk on News Channel 8, Councilmember Mary Che, who chairs the Committee on Transportation and the Environment, had this to say to host Bruce DePoit.
The taxis are regulated significantly,
right,
and Uber feels like they're under the radar a bit. Does the playing field need to be leveled, and what if anything is in the pipeline?
Well, the legislation I put forth, you know, the taxi reform legislation, included legislation to make operations like Uber legal. And there's a major distinction, the major fault line between app services where you call up and you order a car and taxis is whether you can accept street hails. The reason why we regulate taxis the way we do is because you can go out on the street, put up your hand, and get a taxi. You don't know anything about that taxi. You take whatever comes along. And we don't want you to be in a position of having to haggle for a price. I get in the car and I'm going to National Airport. I'll give you 20. No, take 30. You know, we can't do that. We have to have a regulated system. The app services, like Uber, do not and cannot accept street hails. They can only be ordered. Now, what's the situation for the consumer there? For the consumer there, you're pre-registered, you have a credit card, you order it up, it tells you what kind of car you're going to get, it tells you the approximate charge, you get your receipt, no money even changes hands in the car. It's not a surprise. It's not like, whoa, what kind of car am I in? What the Taxi Commission has done recently with its most recent regulations is it said to Uber, you can't have smaller cars, fuel-efficient cars, because they're too much, they'll look too much like taxis. That's ridiculous. You can have those cars just like when you're going to the airport and you want to land someplace, you want to get a car there, you want to rent a car, you go online. Do you want the economy car? You want this car, that car? And you order it. That's the same thing. They should be allowed to have whatever kind of cars they can, give to the customer.
That was Ward 3 Councilmember Mary Che, Chair of the Committee on Transportation and the Environment, appearing on News Talk with Bruce DePoit on News Channel 8. In a series of tweets, Councilmember David Grosso, who we'll hear from later, and Mary Che condemned the Taxi Commission's rulemaking. Grosso said the Taxi Commission's sedan regulations violate the Innovations Act, hurt consumer choice, and do not serve public safety or consumer protection interests. Councilmember Grosso also tweeted out, DC Council should reverse these regs and clip the Taxi Commission before it can further harm this burgeoning taxi dispatch industry. On Twitter, Councilmember Mary Che said, it isn't the job of DC government to stifle innovation and limit consumer choice by passing unfair regulations on Uber. Uber was also active on Twitter in response to the Taxi Commission's rulemaking. The company tweeted, new DC Taxi Commission regs will outlaw mid-sized cars from UberX. Consumer choice is important. X stays on the road. Uber's tweet then linked to a statement the company put out, which said in part, unfortunately, Mayor Gray's appointees to the District of Columbia Taxi Cab Commission delivered a huge blow to consumer choice earlier today by passing sedan regulations that grossly restrict competition and affordable consumer transportation options. While we're still figuring out how to operate within this regulatory environment, rest assured that we do not plan on taking this lying down. That again from a statement that Uber put out in the wake of the Taxi Commission's ruling that the smaller vehicles Uber intended to bring to DC streets and has brought, these UberX vehicles, which are smaller and can be hybrids and so on and so forth, they are not allowed in the sedan class of vehicles. Councilmember Che, Grosso, and many online have said this is grossly unfair. Tony Norman, we're going to be talking about this in depth tonight. What are some of your initial thoughts on what's taking place?
Well, my initial thought is that Councilmember Che and Grosso, I think, are misinformed on a few things. I think they're speaking more from bias toward Uber and what Uber services than understanding the taxicab industry, because what Uber is seeking to do is the same fundamental problem that's always been. They want to compete. In essence, they're going to be competing against taxicabs and what they're doing, as well as they want to be a sedan company, they want to be a taxi company, they want to also be a dispatch service. The problem is you're stifling competition. That's the irony of the very argument that they're making, is that they are restricting competition and trying to say that Uber is being restricted because Uber has an advantage. I think DuPont hit the nail on the head when he started off with the question that you have to level the playing field. They're not inclined to level the playing field. And I think Councilmember Che and Grosso are just speaking out of lack of understanding of the taxicab industry, the sedan industry, and the competition and how it works. And it's even more absurd for them to even be talking about abolishing the taxicab commission when they don't have a plan on the table to deal with how you're going to deal with the taxi regulation. You can't just throw it to another agency. That's absurd. There's been no studies on that. So I think they need to take their time and look at what they're saying instead of speaking their bias toward, which is clearly Uber and the Uber services. And we're not against the services that Uber provide. I think they're just overly infatuated with Uber, and for whatever reason, that Uber can still provide those services, but Uber has to compete like everybody else. If Uber wants to be a sedan company, it needs to follow the regulations as a sedan company. If it wants to open up a taxicab company, they should open up a taxicab company and compete like everybody else. They don't want to do either. They want to be this hybrid that does all of this, and those cars will be hailing and picking up people off the streets. They're not going to be restricted from doing that, as the council member stated. So they are competing against everybody. So you need to have a level playing field. I think they're expressing their bias, and they're also expressing their ignorance to the taxicab industry or vehicles for hire and how it operates.
And at the same time that this is taking place, that UberX and these smaller vehicles are being introduced to the streets of DC, you have cab drivers who are struggling to get the new modern taxi meter system installed in their cars. And this is a system that is quite costly, that drivers are signing these very long-term contracts. We're talking 1, 2, 3, 5-year contracts. And in essence, are turning taxi cab drivers into tax collectors for the city, because each trip, 25 cents of that, goes to fund the taxi cab commission, which is zeroing out its budget. It's becoming a user fee-based model, where instead of getting funded out of the general fund, it's going to get funded out of this so-called tax or this surcharge on each ride instead. And so drivers have to sign with these payment service providers in this complicated process. The payment service providers then provide this 25 cents to the taxi cab commission. This is a burden that is placed on drivers. This is a burden that is not placed on drivers, cab drivers, competitors, UberX. So here we have a bifurcated system at the same time that all these burdens are placed on drivers. As you're saying, UberX is attempting to move in and compete directly against cabs, and yet they don't have to, they're not tax collectors like cab drivers are.
And also there's an underlying class bias here, and I think the council members, Che and Grasso, are overlooking that. What is the class in the market that Uber serves? And there's nothing wrong with serving that class, but they also have to be regulated just like every other vehicle for hire industry, because does Uber offer services? I guess they will say they offer it to everybody regardless of what their income, but there's a lot of lower income people that don't have access to the internet or the dispatch services that they're talking about. And how are they going to bring a car? And there needs to be some sting operation to see if in fact that type of Uber service will go into certain areas and serve those people when they use those services. I mean, that needs to be checked out, because we don't know that yet. They're only servicing a certain income level of individuals. So that's an issue that has to be dealt with. And I think you will get more of that if Uber is unregulated. What is the problem with Uber following regulations just like every other industry that's here? They're trying to use their advantage with and their closeness to certain council members. So I think the council members need to step back, Che and Grasso, take a breath of fresh air, and sit down and look at the vehicle for hire industry before they talk about abolishing the taxicab industry and opening up competition. I mean, what they're doing is just the opposite. It's not creating competition. It's hurting the independent business person or the taxicab driver.
In a bit, we're going to play at-large council member David Grasso's comments yesterday on WAMU on the Kodjoe show, in which he called for the taxi commission to be abolished. He said he would vote in favor of that. Tony Norman, you've raised concerns, we've raised concerns on this program about the taxicab commission, and yet why is that not a good idea to just get rid of the agency altogether? It's certainly not a perfect agency.
Because the taxicab industry is a world unto itself in terms of regulations. We have over 8,000 cab drivers. And to regulate that industry alone require a separate agency. Just even dealing with the legal issues, the adjudicating issues related to taxicab drivers. So you're just going to abolish this commission and throw it in the hands of the Department of Transportation or Public Works. And those agencies are not even functioning at an efficient level. So even if you put it under those agencies, you're still going to have a massive universe of taxicab issues that those agencies are going to have to deal with. You're not going to, and it begs the question, you don't solve the problems that are on the table. You simply think by transferring the commission and its responsibilities to agencies, they're eliminated. That's absurd. That's called passing the buck, and that's called politics. You will not solve the problems on the table with the competition, with the customers, with the drivers, just by abolishing the taxicab commission and transferring it to the Department of Public Works or the Department of Transportation. Once again, you're gonna transfer an entire industry, a universe of regulations, and a whole separate universe of regulations and adjudications into a different DC agencies, and most of these DC agencies aren't functioning up to par. So it's absurd to think that you're going to eliminate all these problems just by doing that. That's why I say these council members need to take at the very least, they need to conduct a study or a task force to review that, to see the implications of it. That's part of the problem here. There are decisions being made without deliberating upon how it's going to impact the actual day-to-day industry. You have over 8,000 cab drivers. They're not thinking about that from that perspective. Most of these people that are articulating these regulations are doing it from the perspective of a certain vested interest, not the entire industry. So you're not solving those problems just by abolishing one agency and transferring it to the next. That is pure politics, and that's pure passing the buck. And it's typical for a political and elected person to do that.
We've had how many cab drivers approach us saying that they've been mistreated by the Taxi Cab Commission? We've reported on some of those stories here. But if I hear you correctly, you're saying that, yes, the Taxi Cab Commission has problems, and we've heard how many drivers have said this is just not an appropriate process as far as the complaint process against drivers and a number of other issues. But if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying that will not inevitably get any better just because you switch from one agency to another.
Actually, I think it'll probably even get worse, because now you're taking an entire work that's done by a commission and throwing it to an agency. I think what you will do is increase lawsuits, because these problems are not going to go away. You're not solving these problems. Now the agency is going to have to issue the regulations. The agency is going to have to adjudicate the issues related to taxicab commission. And the agency that they're transferring it to are going to have to deal with all of the issues that's related to the taxicab industry. So that's just unrealistic to think any functioning agency is going to do that. And they're going to find that out, because now they're going to have to increase the budget of that particular agency. They're going to have to increase the staff or employees of that agency without efficient and without analyzing the efficiencies as to what employees are needed to do that sort of function. So the wisest thing for them to do is to really think about that sort of an option and see what the impact, not just the regulatory impact, but the financial impact on the average taxpayer and the functioning impact. So clearly, I think that the most logical solution is you need to make reforms in the taxicab industry and commission. You make reform, you need to make that a more efficient agency, not overreacting to political pressures of Uber.
I wanted to return to this issue of UberX. At a press conference Wednesday, Tom Sherwood of NBC asked D.C. Mayor Vincent Gray about the taxi commission's ruling that smaller vehicles were not eligible to be classified as sedans. We turn now to that clip from Mayor Gray's press conference on Wednesday.
The Uber wars have returned to D.C.'s conversation about its taxi system.
We'll keep working on that. So we're going to turn to, again, this is Mayor Gray's press conference, and Tom Sherwood of NBC4 had this question from
Mayor Gray. Taxicab Commission has put out new regulations, and once again, some of the more digitally oriented services are upset, saying the commission is not respecting your attempts to have environmentally correct, better technology cab services and car services. They're tweeting, I don't know if it's true or not, that even the Prius would not qualify as a car. And I'm just wondering if you, as much as Ron Linton is trying to bring the cab service in the 21st century, do you think maybe you should start over on what these rules should be?
No, I don't think so. Alan, you want to come up and help address this? No. In fact, we have made an enormous amount of progress, in my opinion. We now have credit cards, and I don't know, around 2,000 of the cabs now have credit cards. Some people were given extensions until the end of September to have that technology in place. So I don't think so. I think we're going to continue to have debates with people about the best way to do this, but I think that's healthy, Tom. And we'll make changes. Too. We've been working with, organizations like Uber, for example. There was a meeting with them just the other day, and there were some agreements that were reached with them around how to accommodate what is really a relatively new service in the city. I think what we're seeing also is the continued evolution, the rapid evolution of, cars for hire, for want of a better way of putting it. And some of the ways in which they are evolving are so new that we're having to develop regulations as we go. So, no, I don't think we should start over.
That was D.C. Mayor Vincent Gray. He asked City Administrator Alan Liu to speak on the issue as well.
Yeah, we're looking to support all the various alternatives and that's being considered. And I know that we've approved just recently the sedans and the larger sedans and the SUVs, and we're looking at the other vehicles as well. I've asked that they actually look at other communities, like New York, and see what they're, what falls into those categories similar to what's being requested of us. So I think we're going to be looking to, ensure that the consumers are given the most choices.
That was City Administrator Alan Liu at a press conference Wednesday. Yesterday at large, D.C. Councilmember David Grosso appeared on the Kojo show on WAMU. Grosso said, Uber is good for the city and the taxi commission is the problem and should be eliminated. We turn now to David Grosso appearing on the Kojo show on WAMU.
The Uber wars have returned to D.C.'s conversation about its taxi system. Uber launched a new lower-cost service earlier this month that already has rankled regulators. This time, the Taxi Commission says the cars the so-called UberX service is using are not allowed under their rules. Tommy Wells, who's gone to bat for Uber, tweeted a few days ago that he continues to believe that the Taxi Commission should be abolished. How do you see it?
I've been engaged in this issue since I got on the council. I think I'm on the Committee on Transportation and the Environment. I think Mrs. Che, Councilmember Che, has done a good job leading the effort on this, and I certainly support her work to support Uber and to other innovative ideas on how we can do a better job getting people around the city in a cab service or taxi service. I think the Taxi Cab Commission has completely dropped the ball on this one, both in the regulations that they put forward earlier this year and now also with the sedan regulations. To think that it matters really, you know, whether or not it's a big sedan or a small fuel-efficient vehicle is seems to me to be kind of unacceptable. I would actually support, and I've talked to Councilmember Wells about this and also Councilmember Che, support completely eliminating the DCTC, the DC Taxi Cab Commission, and putting those functions into other government entities such as the Department of Public Works or, you know, in California, the Public Service Commission handles the regulation of these type of innovative ideas and what's happening in their city, you know, in their state. So I think there's a better way to handle this, and I would be supportive of looking into it.
That was D.C. Councilmember David Grosso appearing on the Kojo Show on WAMU yesterday. He says the problem is the Taxi Cab Commission and that Uber is good for the city. We're going to be opening up the phone lines in just a moment, but first, Tony Norman, your thoughts.
Once again, I think he's speaking out of overexcited bias for Uber without thinking about what he's saying. I mean, even when he says that we need to abolish the Taxi Cab Commission, then he refers to the example of California, which is regulated. I guess he's stating that their taxi cab industry is regulated by the Public Service Commission, which is a separate commission. So he's using an example of why they have separate commissions or agencies to deal with these type of issues. But he's proposing abolishing the separate entity agency concept and transferring it to a particular department. But once again, this is not a well thought through idea or well thought to plan. They're not reviewing the budgetary implications of this, the efficiency implications. You still will have the same problem. So why don't you all just deal with the problem, Council? Call an oversight hearing to deal with the legislation and regulation to deal with the problem instead of trying to pass the buck and simply abolish a commission and transfer it to an agency, which you would still have the same problems and create even more problems. So the solution is to see if you can work and tweak the commission to make it do what it should be doing instead of just a knee-jerk reaction of trying to abolish the commission.
That's the voice of Tony Norman. This is the Taxi Link. I'm Pete Tucker with thefightback.org, and this show, as all of our past shows, is posted at one word, The Fight Back, thefightback.org. We're opening up the phone lines to hear from drivers and others about UberX and any other issues. This is our second to last show of the season, so if you got something pressing, please do call in. I'll give the number out twice. The number to call here to the WST studios is 703-534-9878, 703-534-9878. Joining us on the line is Commissioner Stanley Tapscott, a longtime driver, a member of the DC Taxi Cab Commission. Mr. Tapscott, welcome.
Thank you.
Please, the airwaves are yours. Welcome.
Thank you. I've been listening to the show, and you sure have received a lot of good comments. You know, the whole thing to me has gotten completely out of hand and crazy. I really don't think the people of D.C. has put these people on the council to be such trouble about cabs. Do they realize they're putting out about 7,000 or 8,000 cab drivers on the street? Unemployment in D.C. is the highest rate of any town, and here we're going to put more out there. And I hate to bring up a racial situation. Most of the council people, I don't know whether it's racial or not, but they're all white. And most of the cab drivers are of color. Are they trying to do something here in D.C. to get rid of the colored cab drivers in D.C.? I think it's a shame what they're trying to do. You know, it seems like to me that somebody might be getting paid off with Mr. Hoover, the Uber taxi industry. Why all of a sudden we need Uber? The taxis have been in this city and doing a good job for all these years. What about the people in the southeast, northeast? You don't hear them say anything about Uber going out there picking some. I've asked the chairman, are Uber going out there and pick these people up when they want a cab? And he can't give me an answer. So I'm really amazed at what is going on with the taxi industry. Thank you.
Mr. Tapscott, before you go, let me ask one follow-up question. You've raised a number of concerns about the Taxi Cab Commission, but on this issue, Chairman Ron Linton has taken the position that UberX's smaller vehicles are not allowed, and it's the council and some others on social media that are saying, well, that means you're against Priuses, and that's outrageous. But on this issue, what do you have to say about the position that Chairman Linton has taken?
Well, you know, I try to get along with his chairman. We have different opinions, but I've got to take my hat off him to stand up for this issue. I commend him for it. I had to leave last week because I was taken sick, and I had to go to my doctor. But I would have voted for the same thing this time. And, you know, if you go back a little time, when Uber first came here, Litton stood up against Uber and started arresting those people, and Shea and Evans called his hand and stopped him. So, you know, is it a money thing going on here in D.C.? Well, I'd like to know. Well, I commend Linton on this issue 100%.
Well, thank you for the call. That's D.C. Taxi Cab Commission member Stanley Tapscott, longtime driver, winner of the Congressional Medal, Gold Medal, one of the highest civilian honors. And among the points that Commissioner Tapscott raised, Tony Norman, he asked the question, is this a racial issue?
I think at the very, if it's not a racial issue, it raises a much more, another issue is that these council members are out of touch and are not in the loop in terms of the feel of what's going on out there with what the taxi cab industry is doing. They have a very restricted, a very closed, myopic view of taxi cabs and their services and what Uber is providing. I think they're just responding. If you look at these council members that are talking, Che in Ward 3 and Grosso and his constituency, you see that they're coming from a certain constituency. I think it's more of a class, at the very, even if it's, there may be some racial overtone, but if it's not racial, it's definitely some class issues that they have no idea or understanding. And I think if you use the broader term, vehicles for hire, that means taxi cab service, sedan service, dispatch services, all of these fall under the regulatory process of vehicles for hire. And they all have to be fair and equitable in terms of not just serving in terms of race, but also serving different classes and economic levels of individuals. And I think that these council members are just looking at it from a certain class, cultural bias, and there could be some racial overtones to it, that they have no understanding about the impact of vehicles for hire on all classes and socioeconomic stratas of this city. They're just looking at it from my people. And I say my people, I don't mean just race. I mean my economic type people. We like Uber. We just like we like lattes and we like yoga classes. They are viewing it from a very closed cultural perspective, and they need to get out of their offices and drive around this city, Ward 7 and 8, and see the impact of all of these vehicles for hire on the citizens and the tax that need taxicab service here in Washington, D.C. They have a very, very closed mindset on what Uber is providing. And we're not speaking against Uber. I think Uber does provide a certain service and it addresses a certain need and deficiency in the vehicle for hire industry. But Uber cannot have a monopoly and not be regulated. That is the issue here. We shouldn't be diverted by The issue is not against Priuses. The issue is not against hybrids. That's absurd. Those are people that are trying to divert the real issue here. The real issue here is that Uber wants, whatever it wants to be, it's going to have to be treated just like every other service and company here that's regulated. They're not going to get a priority status just because they're close to the council members or just because they're close economically and serve a certain class. They need to be treated fairly just like every other person, every other company here that provides services that are vehicle for hire. They are getting a bias and not bias, but an unfair treatment, an unfair advantage just because of who they think they are. So that's the issue on the table. We have to deal with real fundamental issues, and that I think is more class, and there are some racial overtones. I'm going to tell these council members, you need to have an oversight hearing and get strong input, and you need to get away from that district building, call some oversight hearings down in Ward 7 and 8, because the Taxicab Commission is out there, and you will get some feedback on how Uber is impacting the entire community as it relates to vehicles for hire, and not just the community that you get your tweets and emails from. You need to get out of that district building, and you need to see what's the impact on these drivers as well as the regular community, all facets of the people who use taxicabs and vehicles for hire. They have a very, very closed mind on how they're analyzing this issue.
You know, Tony, as Commissioner Tapscott was talking, I got to thinking, it does seem interesting to note that with the DC taxis, these are black-owned businesses. These are minority-owned small businesses on four wheels. And with Uber, with Lyft and Sidecar, these are ride-sharing programs, companies that we need to discuss more about that are largely unregulated. And the council is saying, well, that's okay. You know, these are new innovations. They even Lyft and Sidecar, they call themselves ride-sharing or peer-to-peer. And I don't know why getting in a taxi is not a peer-to-peer. And so it's okay for these businesses, which are not, I don't think, minority-owned, to go unregulated. But on the other hand, you're saying DC taxis need to be very heavily regulated, background checks, you know, all these burdens placed on that. So as Commissioner Tapscott is speaking, I was thinking, you know, that does seem to be maybe something there.
That's right. I mean, and these issues are not, people are trying to complicate these issues. Once again, like I said, when you listen to the media, when you listen to the people talk, they're trying to make it, people are against Priuses, people are against hybrids, people are against progress, people are against innovation. That's absurd. They're not against that. In fact, they encourage those things. People against competition. That's not exactly what's going on here. What you have is one company that is trying to seek special treatment, that it's Uber. If Uber wants to do sedan service, if Uber wants to do taxi service, if they want to do dispatch service or do application service, they should do like every other company and register and submit themselves to the jurisdiction so that they can be regulated just like everybody else, just like the taxicab drivers, just like the sedan industry. Why is it you're going to have one person to come in here and not regulate it and then going to go out there and compete against these other companies? So then you have these council members that are just very biased on this issue because they have a very closed mind. They're only addressing the issue of the people that send them tweaks and that are concerned with Uber. And like I said, we're not criticizing Uber and the service that they provide in that particular aspect because they provide a service for a constituency that want that service. But we're simply saying now they're moving into other areas and they have to be regulated. They are actually competing against cab drivers. Some of them have even picking up hails and passengers off the streets. And if they're going to do that, then they have to register as a taxi cab company or treat them just like everybody else. Once again, this is a class issue, and I don't think the council members understand that. They are speaking from their class. They're not speaking from the whole impact that this Uber and the whole issue of this regulation is having on the entire socioeconomic strata here in Washington, D.C. I think they're living and they need to come down from Mount Olympus and go down and see how these regulations and this Uber thing is really impacting the entire industry.
And to be fair, it might be hard for council members to understand what's actually going on in the street. I mean, they make six figures. They make $125,000 a year, and yet they define their work as part-time. So, for example, Councilmember Mary Che, who's a very serious legislator in many aspects, she's also pulling in more than $200,000 separate and apart from her $125,000 council salary as a professor. And so this is just a part-time job, how much time she can actually devote to getting out and understanding what's happening and how much she could actually identify with when she's pulling in not one but two six-figure salaries. It's a fair question whether they can really understand the pain that drivers are going through.
Yeah, they look at this from the perspective of, and I think the mayor had a broad category. They need to look at it from that perspective. Vehicles for hire. That is what we're dealing with here. And they fall on the category of sedans, luxury vehicles. They fall on the category of taxicab services, the dispatch services. All of those are regulated under some particular category, except Uber doesn't fall under any of those. And they're trying to not have any regulation. So they don't want to be regulated. They want to do all these services. And they're getting a biased treatment from council members who understand them just because they provide a good service to a particular class of individuals here in Washington, D.C. And it just so happened that those are the individuals that they're hearing from. I mean, when they'll use examples where all of my friends say they love Uber. Who are your friends? Look at your friends. You're sitting up here sipping on a latte in your yoga class telling me who these people who like Uber. And these are your friends. Are some of your friends going over the South in Ward 7 and 8 and going to Anacostia and taking rides? So why don't they put their lattes down, put their yoga rugs down, and get out in this city and see what's going on? That's my advice to these council members.
I want to welcome Michelle Chame, board member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, to the Taxi Link. Welcome, Michelle. Are you there, Michelle?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
We can hear you well. Welcome.
Yeah, welcome. Thank you very much. Thank you. Here, I would like to raise a couple of points. Number one is what is Uber protesting and why it is protesting? First of all, what Uber protests is the definition and classification of sedan class services, the inventories of vehicles, data reporting, and passenger surcharge. I mean, protesting all these regulatory requirements can tell you that Uber wants to work without being regulated. That's all about. In this particular case, we commend the Taxi Cab Commission to enforce the Improvement Amendment Act and require Uber to abide by the regulations. However, when it comes to Councilwoman Mary Che, mainly she is the most skillful person in the council, and she has used her highest caliber to maneuver and turn around protecting the city from any legal obstacles by changing the definition of the 1985 Establishment Act of the District of Columbia Taxi Cab Commission. After doing that, she imposed new requirements in the existing industry, upon the existing industry, improvement requirements, in which she mandated the district cabs to fulfill these requirements. Right now, every single driver can tell you how much he or she is suffering to meet these requirements. New dome light, new color, newer vehicle, PSP, digital dispatching system, or whatever you name it down the list, everybody is struggling to fulfill these requirements. Mind you, while we are doing that, she is trying to let Uber work unregulated. What does she mean by that? Prius and small vehicles has to be allowed to be classified as sedans. Uber will come tomorrow with thousands of Prius and small cars and flood the city, mind you. This all tells you how she and her fellow council members treat the haves and the have-nots. It's all about immigrants. It is bold and naked. I'm very sorry to say, but it is bald and naked. It is simply about the haves and the have-nots. It is just politics. And I will conclude my suggestion here. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much, Michelle Chame, board member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. Now, this is a hot issue, so I imagine, I could be wrong, but I'm imagining that the council, Mary Che, the chair of the Committee on Transportation and the Environment, David Grosso is a member of that committee, that they will hold hearings in the fall on this. And if that's the case, I hope that drivers turn out and testify. I hope that Commissioner Stanley Tapscott and others testify to raise these issues so it's not just one side that gets heard. I want to welcome Andale to the Taxi Link. Welcome. Andale, are you there?
Yes, Peter. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to have some suggestion and opinion about this, what's going on in our job. This problem has been going on for the last 6 years. The cab drivers never give attention when their job is little by little taken away from them. All these problems we talk about cannot be solved by talking. We have about 7,000 drivers in this city. Out of 7,000 drivers, we don't have any union or organization who strongly fight back about what is going on. We are 7,000 drivers. We need to have a strong union. For that union, every cab driver has to contribute to hire somebody represent us as a lobbyist or as a lawyer who represent us whenever there is a new regulation comes up to speak on behalf of us. Unless we do that, unless we stick together, unless we have a union who is fight for us, we can discuss the problem a million times. It's not going to be a solution. It's good to have a discussion, but even by now, I don't know how many cab drivers listen to this discussion. The problem is not anybody's. You know, when we don't have anybody to speak for us, they can do whatever they want to do. We let it happen. The problem is not the city council or the taxi cab commission or whomever did it to us, because it happened to us because of ourselves. Pete, I know you for the long time. When I met you, your job was to organize and to fight back. Now, you know, I know we have a small business association, UCC, name it. Even, you know, it's not all 7,000 drivers are not organized. If we have 2,000 committed taxi cab drivers, strengthen our union, we can fight back and we can defeat. Now, this thing is going on to us unfairly. Where is the demonstration to go to Capitol Hill? When is the protest? When is with boycott? You know, today, the 50 years Martin Luther King anniversary. Minority got here because they fight. They fight hard. They sacrifice. We don't sacrifice anything. We just stand in and sip in a coffee and talk about it. Doesn't bring a solution. So what I'm asking is, when Congress come back, we all cab drivers organize, protest, and, you know, contribute money every week or every month. I know it's not easy to contribute money, but we have to sacrifice and we have to have a strong unity. Then we might have a solution. Mary Che.
Thank you. If you could wrap up, but thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you. That's enough. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the call. And in a minute, I want to turn to, I had a chance to speak with Chairman Linton. We aired part one of that conversation last week. And I want to air part two, which is dealing with UberX and Lyft and Sidecar. But first, Tony Norman, if you could respond to some of the callers that we've had and any additional thoughts that you want to share.
Well, just the most the last caller who said that we need to, it's something we've been saying on this show for the longest while, that the battle continues. We have to stay organized, stay on, we shouldn't just do it on an issue-by-issue basis. Therefore, when there is an outcry for the taxicab drivers to get something done or to respond, they should be prepared to either send emails or show up at meetings, to call town hall meetings, to call rallies. You should always be diligent in terms of organizing and mobilizing. So I think the caller raises that good point, that we should be prepared to move, just like when Uber felt that they were threatened. They had all these chain emails go down to the council. That's something that that the taxicab drivers need to look at, not just their emails, but their bodies, and to show that we should always be in a position to fight these issues and raise these issues. Therefore, you can't just, when you have one victory, go home and pack everything up. You have to stay out and watch and be and diligent and fight these issues. So you have to, that's why you need programs like this to continue to raise the consciousness of the, not just the cab drivers, but the general public and the politicians, as well as the leaders of the region, so that they can understand what's happening on these issues. Because too often, I think the media is also misinformed on this taxicab issues and the impact of these regulations and the things that are going on with taxicab drivers. So the media needs to be educated, as well as the general public and the leaders.
This is our second to last show of the Taxi Link, but the conversation continues tonight at 8:30 and each Saturday at 8:30. And for those who speak Amharic, not English, but Amharic, and the number to call, I know we've given out a bunch of telephone numbers, but the number for the Amharic phone conference, which is done by the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers and starts at 8:30 p.m. And that number is 712-432-3100. And the code is 140465. Again, that's 712-432-3100, and the code is 140465. And I think it's always critical to get information out there. And so when there is organizing efforts, the drivers can be on the same page. So I think in the absence of this show, next week being our last show for the season, that any driver who speaks Amharic seriously consider tuning in each Saturday evening to that phone conference. I want to turn to a recent interview I did with Chairman Linton. As I said, we played part one last week here on the Taxi Link, and you can find that at thefightback.org. In part two of our interview, Linton discussed Uber and the other services like Lyft and Sidecar. He began by describing Uber, which he characterized as essentially a booking service.
Well, first, we need to understand something. The Uber company does not own any vehicles, to my knowledge. They do not have their cars on the street. As I understand it, they invite drivers or owners of vehicles that meet their requirements to sign up with them to accept rides from Uber's customers. Uber's customers are riders, are passengers. Uber is essentially a booking service. It is through the app process, what we've come to call the apps. Uber has an app. A person who wants to use their service signs up with them, files their credit card with them, downloads their app, and when they need service, they tell Uber through the app, or they can tell them through a computer or through a cell phone, however they do it. It's electronically done. And Uber then surveys through its computer system the availability and assigns announces the ride, assigns it to a vehicle. A vehicle comes and picks up that passenger. So Uber in this process is a booking service, not a taxi company. They don't have vehicles. They're saying, as far as I understand it, we would like people who own vehicles thus described, and they described them from the one flyer I saw. Now, I don't know if these are all correct or not. I saw a flyer that described the vehicles they want to come and sign up with them to be available to accept rides. They want to be able to treat those vehicles exactly in the same fashion as they are now allowed to treat sedans, which is, in our view, the upper, the luxury service, the black car service. They also have a substantial number of taxi owners who have vehicles signed up with them. And they provide that booking service to people who want a taxi. And to the best of my knowledge, they are in total conformity with the regulations dealing with their role as what we call them digital dispatch services in dealing with the taxi element here. The UberX raises a whole number of new policy issues which are going to have to be parsed and looked at. And it's not alone Uber. We also have the company known as Sidecar and the company known as Lyft, who portray their services as ride-sharing. Not ride-sharing as we originally used it here, where more than one person can get in differently as it goes down, but ride-sharing in that the owner is sharing a ride. We can't, everybody expects the commission to respond definitively within 24 hours. It can't be done. Now, laws aren't passed that way, and neither are regulations. This is a new path. We're not closing the door on anything here. But we're not just throwing it open and saying everybody can do whatever they want to do. As it now stands, the vehicles that they want to use under UberX would not qualify for an LTAG as the regulations are being put forth. Whether they should or whether they shouldn't is going to be a debatable thing coming down the pike. It raises, of course, the first question. They are essentially an unregulated taxicab, except they can't pick up street hails. That's exclusive to an H-tag. Only H-tags can pick up street hails. Now, the problem with that is the difficulty of enforcement. And the more vehicles that you enter into the system, the more difficult it is to enforce until, effectively, there's no enforcement. So that's something that we have to look at and we have to consider. We also have the problem the city council may have different views.
UberX has been explicit. Uber has been explicit that they are operating UberX. They put out a statement saying that Rider Zero was Ryan Zimmerman of the Washington Nationals.
Yes, but he was in a vehicle that is licensed in Virginia. We're talking about district. If they're true to their word, and I assume they're going to be, their notice here in the district was that they would only sign up drivers who had face cards from us, and they would only sign up cars that had L tags. There are no L tags that have been issued to any vehicle that meets the new small car request that they're making. There are individuals, there are a lot of individuals, maybe about 1,200 now, who we granted limousine sedan licenses to at the end of last year, who are driving vehicles owned by others. They would now, of course, be eligible to buy a vehicle and apply for an LTAG. We're not accepting any new vehicles in the system until we get this regulation adopted. And once we get the regulation adopted, the vehicles that they want for the UberX don't qualify. So we will have to do a whole new regulatory process to come to a conclusion on how we're going to deal with this.
So explain this to me. Let's say the car that Ryan Zimmerman took is Virginia plates, then if that's allowed, then why does Uber need to come to the DC Taxi Cab Commission at all to get any thing from you?
Well, because that vehicle that was used can pick up somebody in Virginia and drop them off in the district. Or they can respond to a request of somebody in the district electronically to be picked up to drop off in Virginia. But they can't pick up people in the district and drop them off in the district.
Is that right? That was D.C. Taxi Cab Commission Chairman Ron Litton. After the commission's meeting on Monday where they passed the regulations excluding smaller cars from the sedan class of vehicles, I asked Chairman Litton about Sidecar and Lyft, two ride-sharing companies that are largely unregulated yet competing with taxis, which face heavy regulation. Here's what Chairman Litton had to say.
Well, against Lyft, we're enforcing. Sidecar has advised us that there no longer is a required payment. They will not automatically charge passengers. It's a purely voluntary rideshare arrangement on that. So they are not a public vehicle for hire at the moment. But we're going to write regulations around what rideshare is or is not, and we're going to get into that pretty soon.
So that was Chairman Litton responding to Lyft for Sidecar, and Sidecar is purely voluntary. So I guess Tony Norman is not being so much a public vehicle for hire as much as a public charity on four wheels, so therefore it doesn't need to be regulated.
That's right. That's part of the, once again, that hits the nail on the head part of the problem. All these industries, regardless of what you're doing, if it's a public vehicle for hire, you have to have some regulation. Because there are others who do have the public vehicle for hire that are regulated, and you're going to come in with an unfair disadvantage in terms of competing. That is not encouraging competition. That's stifling competition.
We have two calls in just a couple minutes, so let's see if we can get both of them in. Welcome, Pete Harmon. You are on the Taxi Link. Welcome, Pete.
Hi, how you doing, Pete?
Good.
I want to apologize to Tony for being so rude with at the last meeting. But I had to try to get out of Mr. Linton that that they can turn our meter off with this new smart meter. Drivers need to realize that this is really the worst thing to come down the pike for us. It is electronic taxi medallion. He lied when he said that they had, it was illegal. They had no legal right to turn our meters off. There's no such regulation. If there was, they could change it. He did admit in that same conversation that they would not allow us to operate our meter or work our cabs if we owed back taxes, what he called the Clean Hands Act. We'll have to pay possibly 3 years back taxes at 10% unincorporated business tax. That seems to be a way they can try to use to put us out of business. In this case, though, Uber may help us out, at least where they use the app just solely for taxi dispatching. They really have more than enough cabs to cover all the business in D.C. The city doesn't like Uber at all. In fact, they're trying to make the taxi application not work simply by use the cruising light that we'll have to put in. Does not have an on-call sign. The only way you can turn it off is get out of the cab and turn it off on the roof. Because of that, it'll make any sort of dispatching pretty much impossible. I think Yellow and Diamond make an exemption, and we can put a switch inside the cab. But it'll make it impossible for Uber to operate the way it's been doing with a telephone app. And I'm telling you, as somebody who's driven dispatch cab for 20 years, whether I like it or not, the taxi app, the telephone app, is working very efficiently for the customers and the drivers.
Thank
it's
you.
Even helping. I'm getting there's more and more young black men using it because the driver knows that it's a good and safe call when they get it through Uber.
Thank you, Pete. We just have 1 minute left, and we got another caller, so I'm going to have to move on. So thank you for that call. Emmanuel, welcome. We got 1 minute. Welcome to the Taxi Link.
Hey, Pete, how you doing? This is Emmanuel from PG. I try to upgrade the information for PG drivers. We're still fighting on National Harbor. The last Thursday, we have a meeting with them, and we didn't come to agreement. On that case, we will start just doing our rally every day from it will start from next Monday. That's why I just called, and I tried to say something about the DC drivers. They really have to fight about the ex-Huber thing. Thanks for your time. I try to call next week. Thanks.
Thank you, Emmanuel. He's a driver at National Harbor, where drivers are in negotiations with the Gaylord Hotel, largest hotel on the East Coast, to get a taxi stand on hotel property. They had a meeting with the hotel, and they offered a taxi stand on hotel property, but it is very far away. I went and walked it. It's really far away, and they want a taxi stand closer. Hopefully those negotiations will continue, and there will be some positive resolution. Just 30 seconds left, Tony Norman. So your final thoughts, and again, this show will be posted at thefightback.org.
Once again, the thing I want to emphasize is that we have to get the message out. We have to raise the consciousness about what's going on in the taxi cab industry, not just as it relates to the drivers, but how it impacts all of the users of the taxi cabs. And that's why shows like this, and we have to be diligent in getting the message out. And cab drivers have to work together and fight for each cause in the various jurisdictions, for PG, Montgomery, and well as the district.
That's Tony Norman. I'm Pete Tucker with thefightback.org, where you can find this show. Next week will be our last edition of The Taxi Link. It's engineered by Mark Taylor, produced by Will Martin, with special thanks to Stefan Illier. Thefightback.org. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Taxi Link.